T-minus 53. Gravesen Hotel, Buenos Aires, Argentina. The air in the Buenos Aires Gravesen's executive conference lounge was thick with something halfway between tension and awkwardness. Despite the hit it had taken for being the scene of an audacious terrorist bid to take President Slater and her Japanese counterpart hostage 1 year earlier, this well-located and well-appointed hotel would always be Godfrey's favorite for receiving visiting dignitaries. Today's guest of honor was Clark McCarthy, straight out of Birchwood, and while Godfrey didn't have to lay on the full VIP experience for Clark, as he would have for more discerning visitors, there was still nowhere better for the pre-event briefing. Clark and Godfrey, chalk and cheese, sat alone at a low table while several security guards blocked each of the room's doors. Clark had spoken to the men when he arrived in the room, as he always liked to do, and felt safe enough in their armed company. He didn't see Godfrey as someone who would ever be sloppy with security, but many of the things he'd seen in Iraq, and still relived all too often in his mind, had imprinted upon him that there really was no such thing as too careful. Clark had also spoken to Emma recently, right before leaving his room after a short but solid sleep. She encouraged him to covertly record every conversation he had with Godfrey and suggested a few questions and talking points to bring some of his internal thoughts to light. Tara and Dan had chimed in too, with the former now less annoyed at Clark for leaving than she was anxious of his safe return. Dan, for his part, told Clark to say as little as he could get away with and to avoid any direct communication with Leisha, should it be offered via cable or perhaps even table, for fear that his thoughts might accidentally reveal too much for now about any of the three recent revelations regarding New Kerguelen's apparently non-functional shelter, Piper's somehow hereditary possession of uplift powers, or Dortlu Tepe's history-altering carvings. This final point led to a discussion about how much Leisha might have already known about Billy's find. After all, the alien had been present in Earth's atmosphere for several months, living alone within a cloaked craft at all times, except when called down by the pressing of a radio-like communications button he had left with Godfrey at the UN building for that purpose. Whether the undetectable craft always remained over New York or ever ventured elsewhere was pure guesswork, and no one knew how much attention, if any, Leisha paid to human affairs. It was certainly true that the messengers had previously monitored events on Earth, as shown by their timely returns on a handful of occasions. But as Dan was first to point out, all of that had been back when their elders had been fully functioning. And without them, no one knew how effectively the messengers could interpret human behavior at all. Their utter dependence on the elders for everything from basic physical maintenance to the decision on whether to save Earth from Comet Il Diavolo suggested to Dan that Leisha probably wasn't paying much attention to events on the ground, let alone at an obscure site in Turkey, and that he probably wouldn't have been able to make much sense of it, even if he was. From there, though, a concern developed in Dan's mind about what would happen if and when Godfrey took his touring party to Dortlu Tepe and Leisha did lay eyes on the carvings. What would he make of the clear visual suggestion that a third intelligent race had visited Earth, one equipped with a suspiciously familiar-looking communications cable? Given that knowledge of such ancient visitation had been lost on Earth, and given how much other knowledge had faded into the ether on New Kerguelen as the messengers became almost helplessly dependent on their elders, it seemed a safe bet that Leisha would be shocked to the core by the discovery. As soon as this thought came up, both Dan and Emma told Clark that under no circumstances could he allow Godfrey to show Leisha the carvings while dozens of cameras watched on like it was the highlight of some trivial reality TV show rather than a moment that could potentially torpedo humanity's collaborative future. There was no telling how Earth's general public was going to react to the revelation of ancient visitation and direct contact, so predicting how one alien race would react to the existence of another was, quite frankly, a fool's endeavor. The endless possibilities of what else might be uncovered, both at Dortlu Tepe and on the potentially explorable surface of New Kerguelen, were likely to bring even greater questions to light. But for now, the focus had to be on safely navigating the next few days. Godfrey's answers to Clark's questions, which he remembered as best he could and asked in the most natural manner he could muster, were uncontroversial and believable enough. No one in Birchwood saw any clear ulterior motives in Godfrey's decision to engage in this tour, and their own desire to present calm and unity with Leisha in an effort to ease minds around the world seemed to go hand in hand with Godfrey's. As the time came for Clark and Godfrey to make their way to the ICA headquarters for the media event, Clark finally voiced the one question that had kept rising to the surface of his own mind. How did Leisha know this was where he was supposed to be? We still have a camera in the table room at the UN, Godfrey explained, correctly assuming Clark was one of very few people who knew what the table room was. When we press the button to establish radio contact, Leisha sees a screen on which we can impose anything we like. In this case, he's going to see a photo of you, a photo of me, a photo of the media, a photo of the building, and a map with our location highlighted. Between you and me, I think he's paying far closer attention to our activities than anyone realizes. Not that that's a bad thing, you understand, and I'm not even convinced that he can't still understand our speech. Do you have any actual reason to believe that? Clark asked, more than a little concerned about the consequences if Godfrey was right. If Leisha could still tell what they were saying when he was supposed to have voluntary and temporarily removed his telepathic uplift power, a lot of things were going to be a lot more difficult than previously imagined. Emma certainly hadn't briefed Clark for this. Not specifically, Godfrey said, just a hunch. But I'm conservative by nature, Clark, so sometimes my hunches go too far. In any case, are you ready? As the future ICA chairman stood up and the security guards opened the room's doors, Clark nodded and rose to his feet. Ready, Clark said, hoping it was true.